Shabbat Shalom, brethren. Today is Saturday, the 9th of October, 2021. Saturday, the 9th of October, 2021. And it's the third day of the Hebrew month called Cheshvan. It's Shabbat Noach. We are looking at Genesis chapter 6 to 11. We are talking about the fallen ones of the earth and how, what led to the earth to be cleansed with water. So that leads me to something else. If you read the book of Numbers, either Numbers 28 or Numbers 29, one of those two chapters. It's towards the end. It's one of those final chapters. It talks about the water of purification and the fire of purification. Let me see if I can get the chapter. Water of purification and the fire of purification. Yah instructed Moses. To be putting certain things through water of purification and then fire of purification and others that could to go through just the water and others to just go through the fire. And this points to the red heifer, so the ashes of the red heifer. The red heifer is a cow that is, I'll say brown, not red, but they call it the red heifer. It's a very special cow. It's rare. So actually it's Numbers 19. Where this instruction was given to Moshe Hanavi, Prophet Moses. And it talks about putting stuff through the water of purification and the fire of purification. So that is very prophetic because it points to the fact that the earth was cleansed once with water and it will be cleansed in the future with fire. So Yah is very strategic when he's writing the scriptures and when he's doing things. But we need him to reveal things to us because it is his word. We can't understand it in our way. So the water of purification, the fire of purification, I thought I should share that. The other thing that would be nice to share is that it has been revealed that the earth went through three phases during the time of Noah, which point to the Passover festival, the first fruits festival, and the Pentecost festival. Now, what happened on Passover, first fruits and Pentecost? Passover, Yahushua died and was buried. Okay, he died, he was killed, he was crucified on Passover, he was buried on the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and he was resurrected on first fruits. So he was the first fruit of creation. Then Pentecost, he sent the Spirit of Yah, he sent the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to come upon us. Now, that's three stages that we have to go through in our walk of faith. First of all, we have to confess that we agree, that we accept Yah's salvation, we accept the sacrifice on the cross that was made for us, then welcome Yahushua to live in us. Then the second section is we have to be baptized by immersion in water. That way we die with him and we resurrect with him as we come out of the water. As we go into the water, we die with him. As we come up, we resurrect with him. That is very symbolic because he has decided to take our place in terms of the crucifixion. So instead of us being crucified, we have to go through the baptismal waters after giving our lives to him, after accepting his salvation. After going through the baptismal waters, we have to be baptized by the Holy Spirit and that way our salvation is sealed. But we have to work out our salvation with fear and trembling on a daily basis after that, so that we do not lose our salvation. Because this world is so wicked. The Bible says that if you think you're standing upright, be careful, you might fall. And that's a very good, important sign to, you know, that it's possible to lose salvation. And also Yahushua says he can spit people out of his mouth in Revelation. I think Revelation chapter 3. The other thing is he talks about the falling, the great fall away in Matthew 24, in the book of Timothy, Thessalonians. That is all a sign that it is possible to lose one's salvation. We also see the children of Israel, many of them, like Korah, ended up being buried in the earth because of their rebellion against Yah. So they had received salvation, but because of their rebellion, they lost their salvation. They didn't allow the salvation of Yah to transform their lives. We are meant to allow the salvation of Yah to transform us and make us more like Him, bear many good fruit for Him. May Yah help us to bear many good fruit for Him in Yahushua's name. May He remove every bad fruit from our lives in the mighty name of Yahushua. May He also remove every stench, every disfavor in our lives, from our lives, in the mighty name of Yahushua HaMashiach, with the precious blood of Yahushua and the fire of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So when Noah, when the earth was being flooded, it was being washed with the water of the word of Yah. Remember, Yahushua is the living waters. He also says in John chapter 7 that he will, out of him come springs of living water. That is the Holy Spirit. The out of him that comes springs of living water is the Holy Spirit. That was poured out upon us. So the earth was washed by the water of Yah's word, and then it went through a rebirth, you know, a time of resurrection after the flood. It took time for things to go back to normal. Noah had to repopulate the earth all over again, and in terms of plants and people. Then the final stage, and also remember the dove was sent out of the ark during Noah wanted to know if the ground is dry. The dove was intervened, and the dove is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, so that points to Pentecost. The other thing that I'm forgetting now is okay, hold on 1 second, let me just take a quick look. The other thing the earth will go through is redemption. So in the future, the earth will be redeemed completely from Yah. Sorry, not from Yah, please forgive me, Lord. The earth will be redeemed from evil, from wickedness, from sin, on judgment day. So those are the three main phases the earth went through during Noah's time, and those three phases point to the resurrection, the death, the resurrection, and the Pentecost, that Yah has, you know, created for us. So right, there's something else I wanted to touch on, but it's now skipping my mind. I think, as I said the other day, when the flood came to an end, and then it took a while for the waters to dry, and then Noah left the ark 1 year later after the flood came, and then about 7 months later, in the month of Shivan, the third month, on Pentecost, the rainbow appeared after Noah did some sacrifices on an altar. So Noah observed Passover. He observed Pentecost. He observed Sukkot. him and his descendants and also his predecessors observed those festivals accordingly. They always did things. So the children of Israel coming out of Egypt is not the first people to observe those festivals. Even Abraham observed them. For example, the day that he rescued Lot from the people that had hijacked him, the five kings. Oh my God, that points to the Daniel chapter 11. So the day he fought against those kings was Passover. It was the very first day of Passover, believe it or not. He was eating his bitter herbs and the lamb, and then Angel Michael came and told him that, oh Lord, your nephew is in trouble, you need to go and rescue him. Now, just because he had fallen out with Lord did not mean that he was to ignore Lord. He actually just immediately got up. He dropped what he was doing and he got up. And as led by Yah and Michael, Angel Michael, he was able to win the battle. It's a long story how he won the battle. We can go into it in the near future because that Torah portion is coming up soon. There's other things to share. I wish to stay focused. But, you know, the Bible is interwoven, so it's hard to only stick to what you're talking about. Sometimes you need to talk about other things that are connected. Now, the ark that they sat in is connected to the Ark of the Covenant. They are both boxes. They are both acts of salvation. They both carry His presence. The instructions given to him were written in a book. But yeah, the two acts are very special. They speak of Yah's judgment. They are a testimony. They are a testimony against the people of the earth, both the ark of Noah and the ark of the covenant. So the ark that Noah was in was like an ark of the covenant because he was in covenant with Yah, and whoever was in that ark was in covenant with Yah. The reason why Noah could not curse Ham, when Ham made jest of him, of Noah trying to enjoy his wife at his old age, and he is because all the basically Noah's wife was Nama. Noah, Nama, and Noah's children, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives were blessed by Yah. Yah released a blessing upon them, and that blessing could not be taken away. So no curse was meant to be released upon any of them as a result. So Noah saw into the prophetic future of Ham's son called Canaan, and instead placed the curse on Canaan. And we all know what Canaan turned out to be. Canaan and Cain, there's no much difference, actually. Very, very evil people. Cain, after the flood happened, there was a distribution of land according to Yah's instructions. But when it was time to occupy those lands, Cain chose to go and occupy the portion of Shem. Now, Japheth and Ham begged him not to, but he refused to listen. Canaan still went ahead and occupied that land, and we all know that he desecrated it. And because of him, the children of Israel ended up in bondage. Well, not because of them. No, okay, not necessarily because of them. But, well, what happened to the children of Israel going into bondage was a result of Abraham's lack of faith in Yah's word that he had released that he would inherit the land of Canaan. So the Canaanites, they are the descendant of Cain, and they were very evil people trying to, you know, they were into idolatry. So the blessing upon the children of Noah and Noah himself could not be removed and replaced with a curse. They were set apart and they were to procreate the earth. Now, what else happened that I need to touch on? I need to touch on the Tower of Babel, but I'm thinking of stopping here for now. Maybe I can touch on the Tower of Babel in another audio. It's part of this Torah portion, but it's a whole other story that needs to be discussed. But yeah, the comparison of the two, the Ark of Noah and the Ark of the Covenant, is very interesting how they are both called arks and they were just wooden boxes, but very special boxes that had the presence of Yah in them. They speak of Yah's salvation and Yah's covenant. You know, they testify of his existence. Nobody can say these things did not exist, you know. And I still wonder why Yah allowed the ark to land in Turkey instead of anywhere else, because Turkey is part of the Roman Empire. But I also learned that Turkey was once part of Israel. It's one of the lands that belongs to Israel, if I'm not mistaken. But somehow the Roman Empire took over it and they spread Islam there. You know, Esau always hated evil, so he promoted evil. Now, yesterday I got an interesting revelation, which I don't even know how to share. But I've always shared that Esau and Ishmael are working together against Israel. And I said that the false prophet is Esau. So Rome, the Vatican, they are Esau. And also the anti-Messiah, the only begotten son of Satan, which is Obama, is Ishmael. Now, we all know that Rome created Islam. So, sorry about that interruption. So, what was I saying? I'm saying the false prophet, Esau, the anti-Messiah, Ishmael. Now, Esau, Rome, Vatican, they created Islam and have been using Islam to work against the people of Israel all these years. And that goes back all the way to history when Abraham, I think Abraham had died when this happened, because Abraham died on the same day as Nimrod, which was the day of the stealing of the birth, of the taking of the birthright from Esau. It was after Abraham and Nimrod died that the birthright was taken from Esau. Abraham died because Esau was about to kill him. Abraham still had 5 more years to go. But because Abraham loved Jacob and Esau knew it, Esau was heading over to kill Abraham when he got sidetracked to kill Nimrod instead. So Yah took Abraham's life so that he could, you know, that promise that Abraham would die in peace could be fulfilled. And he died in the bosom of Jacob. Jacob was with Abraham when Abraham had blessed him. He had admonished him to carry on with what he's doing, and he had prophesied into his life. Then I think they had a meal and they slept off. And by the time Jacob woke up, Abraham had died. So the soup that Jacob was making was lentil soup. And the reason why Esau was desperate to have some was because he had just killed Nimrod. And he was so scared because the people who were Nimrod's subjects found out that Nimrod had lost his head, and they were wondering who had killed Nimrod. Esau was scared of being discovered. So it's, you know, you can see that Esau cut off Nimrod's head, and later on Esau's head was cut off as well. It's very interesting how history keeps repeating itself. You know, anyway, Yah did promise that when people die, kill by the sword, they die by the sword. It is written in the heavenly tablets. So, that's the reason why Jacob was able to persuade Esau to... Anyway, Esau, I don't think Jacob knew what happened, but he saw how desperate Esau was and took advantage of that and took his birthright. And I learned through that in Hebrew culture, they eat lentils when they lose people. When you lose a loved one and you're mourning them, you eat lentils, because lentils are round and they represent the circle of life. So when Esau saw Jacob making the lentils, he wondered, what's going on? Why are you cooking lentils? And Jacob said, our father, grandfather has died. Our father has died. Abraham, haven't you heard? And Esau said, no, he had no idea. So what I was trying to say is that it was after Abraham's death that Esau tried to persuade Ishmael to kill Isaac, but it didn't happen, so that he could kill Israel. But Leah did not allow it because he took Ishmael's life on the night before they were about to go and try to kill Isaac. But because the mere fact that Ishmael agreed, and Esau asked him and Ishmael agreed, that spoke into future prophecy. And it is what we are seeing now. So because of what happened then, Rome, which is, and the Vatican, which is Esau, have found a way to create a fake religion, which is Islam, and then use it to constantly persecute the Israeli people. And also to steal Jerusalem from them. So it makes so much sense that the anti-Messiah is a Muslim, and he's going to promote the Sharia law. He's going to promote Islam worldwide. That's why the one world religion is Chrislam, and the headquarters is going to be Jerusalem, finally, the way they want it. They always wanted Jerusalem to be their own, but Yah will permit them to, own Jerusalem for about 7 years, of which 3.5 will be the ones they'll be able to do their evil in full. And then Yah will overcome them. That's the false prophet and the anti-Messiah. And Ishmael, the Ishmaelites, the Muslims, will be used a lot as swords to kill people, to butcher people, to torture people, for rejecting the mark of the beast, for refusing to worship the image, for refusing to observe Sunday worship, for refusing to, reject the Messiah, Yahushua HaMashiach. What happened in the Holocaust will repeat itself, but this time it will be 666 million people that will die. And the 66 million people will be a mix of Christians who have rejected the mark of the beast, and Jews who have rejected Sunday worship, and they too, in a way, they will be rejecting the mark of the beast. So 66 million Jews were killed in the Holocaust, but 666 million people will be killed in this great tribulation for rejecting the mark of the beast alone. That is a very big number. Now, another thing I'm going to point out before this idea ends is Noah, the flood happened at age 600. 600,000 people were killed in the flood. I've also learned that 600,000 people died at the Tower of Babel. And 600 angels fell together with the devil from heaven. 600 angels fell. Another 200 fell. Those are the ones who did their act on Mount Hermon, making 800 angels who fell. The ones that are the watchers, the 200, those are special. So they are not banished to hellfire straight away. I don't know where they're keeping them, but they're keeping them somewhere. And they will be sentenced on Judgment Day. So 600 plus 800, 200 is 800. Now 66 is the number. 6 is the number of man. We all know that the eighth month, both the sixth month and the eighth months are used a lot to do evil. For example, this is the month that Halloween normally happens. And even in August, a lot of evil things are done. And June. So it's important to know these things and be on the lookout. And this audio is coming to an end. I think I'm going to have to round up this in the next audio. So Shabbat Shalom, brethren.